The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Tune in live this Monday, March 27, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. As usual, it's a wild and dystopic nightmare, really. Just gets stranger all the time, it seems. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. Not the least of which... Speaking of strangeness, the subject of terrorism. We'll talk about terrorism. It was very interesting. 60 Minutes yesterday. Did you see 60 Minutes? Very provocative is certainly one word for it. Fake news. That's an interesting story. The the provocative piece on how the FBI just happened to have an agent trailing terror suspects or alleged terror suspects. Speaking of terrorism, that's provocative piece as well. But what is fake news? It's interesting. I thought it was the 60 Minutes piece. We'll probably play a clip from that. But the 60 Minutes piece defined fake news as stories that are provably false, but that have enormous traction in the culture and are consumed by millions of people. It's interesting. What's particularly interesting about the 60 Minutes piece is that it transitions from that to equivocation fallacy quickly, which is that's a deeply provocative irony, I would say. And we don't seem to notice this in America, which is a disturbing, and this is happening more and more. It's a disturbing and alarming trend, I would say. We should be paying attention to this, and yet we're not for some reason. Why is that? So, the piece looks at news stories that are provably false to begin with. Justin Kohler is perhaps the poster child for that kind of fake news. He's the guy behind the fake sites, National Report, Denver Guardian, and the crazy stories that we've seen circulating on the internet. But then there's a transition from that, stories that are provably false, to stories that are hotly contested, issues that are hotly contested, that are not necessarily provably false. We see a lot of those kinds of stories circulating in the media right now. And to make that jump, to make the leap from a story that was written as a complete falsehood to stories that are hotly contested but not necessarily proven false, is, again, that is a fallacy of equivocation. Which is interesting. And interesting is an understatement. We see this all over the place. We see it. It's happening so much and so fast, it's hard to even keep up with it, particularly in the Trump era. Again, this being, day 67 now of the Trump presidency. And so in this era, it seems like even if Donald Trump were trying to make an effort to sift through the falsehoods of the media, his own brand of sensationalism, his own brand of reality TV hyperbole, obviously feeds into this swirling controversy and contention, this ever-growing controversy over the subject of fake news, so much so that CBS News 60 Minutes has even taken up the topic. So it's interesting. This is an investigative piece by 60 Minutes. What's fake news? 60 Minutes producers investigate. Subtitle, what surprised 60 Minutes producers who reported on stories that are provably false, and why arguing about it is like going down the rabbit hole. And it kind of is. But what's ironic about that is, again, that I think 60 Minutes fed into that in their piece. Michael Rodetsky, in particular, in his intimations, I think did so as much as anyone else in the piece. That's actually his, those are his words. You know, we're using the term fake news to describe stories that are provably false, he said, but that have enormous traction in the culture and are consumed by millions of people. But speaking of Justin Kohler and his news sites, Radetzky said that Kohler said he wrote these fake stories because it was like an addiction. The more hits he got, the more of a rush it was, powerful to create something out of nothing. But going on, and after the transition from stories from Kohler, the piece transitions. Scott Pelley interviewed Michael Cernovich, who some people know from his website, Danger and Play. And it's an interesting back and forth between Pelley and Cernovich. But then 60 Minutes producer Radetzky comments after the interview and says, getting into an argument about it, words like true and false, is like going down the rabbit hole. And he said it wasn't our job to go down the rabbit hole. It was our job to interview Cernovich in this case and understand how he makes the decisions he makes. The 60 Minutes piece points out the editorial decisions Cernovich makes apparently have a broad influence thanks to his daily commentary streams and social media posts. He reached Twitter users 83 million times last month alone. One of the issues with the story, with this topic, is that there is a basic fundamental disagreement right now in the country about what is false information, one of the producers says. And that is a place where really we haven't gone before. It's a post-truth. It's a post-truth society here in America, right? That is, that is the unfortunate reality we find ourselves facing. It's interesting. You can't get people to slow down long enough to actually thoughtfully investigate what's happening, and there is a great deal happening. There's no doubt about that. You know, and speaking of what's happening and 60 Minutes and the subject of terror, it's interesting. 60 Minutes piece, how close was the FBI to terror attack in Garland, Texas? That's an interesting piece too. The attorney investigating the ISIS-inspired attack, or alleged ISIS-inspired attack, discovered new evidence revealing undercover FBI agent photographed victims seconds before gunfire. So, it's an astonishing development. And we'll talk more about that too in today's broadcast. But first, let's perhaps run through some of the events of the day, kind of the developments of the day. TechCrunch reporting today that Uber's autonomous test cars are returning to San Francisco today. It's interesting, after being banned. It's fascinating to see how quickly the autonomous car discussion is just kind of subsuming America, the globe, our consciousness. We've gone from this wasn't possible, this was science fiction, to DARPA sponsored a few competitions, to now not only are Uber's autonomous cars going to flood California, whether Californians like it or not, but Uber's going to have their little Jetsons, what I would call, well, their hovercraft in certain metropolitan areas. Very, very just unbelievable how quickly that whole topic of discussion, that whole issue, that whole agenda has ramped up just kind of seemingly out of nowhere, but not really, because it's a grand technocratic, part of a grand technocratic vision for some time. Interesting piece over in Newsweek, published on Saturday, piece by Jerry Davis titled "Autocratic Leaders, Autocratic Silicon Valley Leaders Won't Save Democracy." And features a video of Mark Zuckerberg talking about releasing. Mark Zuckerberg releases a bizarre AI video. And in the article, Jerry Davis, the article opens, and the article was originally featured in The Conversation, "Can Silicon Valley's Autocrats Save Democracy?" which is, you know, they're technocrats, really. That's how the piece should be spun, I suppose, if we want to call it spin. In late February, Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg published an essay that laid out the social network's vision for the coming years. In the 5,700-word document, immediately dubbed a manifesto, was his most extensive discussion of Facebook's place in the social world since it went public in 2012. Although it reads to me, Jerry Davis writes, in places like a senior honors thesis in sociology, with broad brush claims about the evolution of society and a heavy reliance on terms like social infrastructure, it makes some crucial points. In particular, Zuckerberg outlined five domains where Facebook intended to develop the social infrastructure to give people the power to build a global community that works for all of us. Supportive, safe, civically engaged, inclusive. Those were the buzz terms that were used. And anyway, it's technology and democracy. The initial reaction to Zuckerberg's manifesto was largely negative. The Atlantic described it as a blueprint for destroying journalism by turning Facebook into a news organization without journalists, which again gets back to the point of the CBS piece about fake news. What is truth? What is true? What is false? What is fake? Bloomberg View referred to it as a scary dystopian document to transform Facebook into an extraterritorial state run by a small, extraterritorial state run by a small unelected government that relies extensively on privately held algorithms for social engineering. Whatever the merits of these critiques, Zuckerberg is correct, Davis points out, about one central issue. Internet and mobile technology could and should be used to enable far more extensive participation in democracy than most of us encounter. Well, that sounds good. But then again, getting back to the fact that it's a post-truth era that we live in, people are less concerned with the facts and the truth than they are with a persuasive argument. This is echoed everywhere. Sean Hannity the hotly contested interview with Ted Koppel that was featured, what, I think on CBS Sunday Morning?
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Subject of informed discretion. We need to inform our own and one another's discretion, perhaps, in a peaceful, civil, respectful, perhaps virtuous, moral, and even perhaps religious fashion. Virtue, morality, and religion, as Patrick Henry put it and the others. We need to inform our discretion, you know, along the lines of the article. Again, you know, Davis writing that internet and mobile technology could and should be used to enable far more extensive participation in democracy than most of us encounter. But see, where are people going? Everyone is trending toward commentary rather than going and finding the information for themselves, deciding for themselves, and scrutinizing for themselves what these things mean. Who said what actually, and what that actually means. If we're not doing that, then aren't we simply opining and editorializing ourselves rather than, as Davis puts it, participating in democracy more extensively? I mean, that's kind of a rhetorical question, obviously. But continuing from Davis' article, in the United States, democracy can feel remote and intermittent, and it sees only limited participation. I think that's probably because the masses are so heavily propagandized that they really don't have an original thought themselves and incapable of critical thought. Because the mind is fed a steady diet of junk food, candy, so to speak. So no wonder it doesn't behave as it should. It's not capable in that environment. The 2016 election, which pitted radically different visions for the future of democracy against each other, Davis writes, attracted only 60% of eligible voters, which is up considerably from some past elections. In the midterm elections between presidential campaigns, turnout drops sharply, even though the consequences can be equally profound. Yes. Toward a truer democracy, Davis writes, the social infrastructure for our democracy was designed at a time when the basic logistics of debating issues and voting were costly. Compare the massive effort it took to gather and tabulate paper ballots for national elections during the time of Abraham Lincoln with the instantaneous global participation that takes place every day on social media. The transactional costs for political mobilization have never been lower if appropriately designed social media could make democracy more vibrant by facilitating debate and action. Now that sounds good on the face of it, but that is a fallacy of oversimplification and not really taking into consideration the full scope of the subject matter discussed, namely the social media and the digital footprint and its cost.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, March 27th, 2017. And I want to get into this, the subject of the specious war on terror. And all of that nonsense, you know, the 60 Minutes piece, it's interesting. Patrick Poole over at PJ Media wrote an article about the 60 Minutes piece revisiting the Garland, Texas attack, the first attack claimed by ISIS on U.S. soil. And interesting Patrick Poole titled his article, 60 Minutes Whitewashes Massive FBI Failure in 2015 ISIS Texas Terror Attack. But my conjecture is, was it really a massive FBI failure, or was it a massive Operation Gladio B success? Because when you consider the fact that, one of the most provocative bits of information is the fact that an FBI agent was trailing the suspects. Is that not a startling realization for most folks? How is it possible that an FBI agent just happens to be trailing these folks? That's something that I find shocking. It's shocking that the mainstream media isn't talking about that, but we will talk about that in the broader context coming up here. I always mention Trevor Aronson's TED Talk, and I think we played it last week, in fact. I tweeted about this earlier today, November. And I included in that message Trevor Aronson, a link to Trevor Aronson's Twitter profile and his a link to the TED Talk, and he liked it, so that was interesting. But what am I talking about? If you haven't seen the 60 Minutes piece, this is the video titled "How Close Was the FBI to Terror Attack in Garland, Texas?" Again, this is the first. This was the 2015 attack ISIS claimed responsibility for it. First attack claimed by ISIS on U.S. soil, and this is a provocative little bit of information. Go ahead, please.
Last November, Maynard was given another batch of documents by the government, revealing the biggest surprise of all. The undercover agent was in a car directly behind Elton Simpson and Nader Sufi when they started shooting. This cell phone photo of school security guard Bruce Joyner and police officer Greg Stevens was taken by the undercover agent seconds before the attack.
The idea that he's taken photograph of the two people who happen to be attacked moments before they're attacked
is stunning.
I mean, talk about being in the right or the wrong place at the right or the wrong time.
The idea that he's right there 30 seconds before the attack happens is just incredible to me.
What would you want to ask the undercover agent?
I would love to ask the undercover agent, are these the only communications that you had with Simpson? Did you have more communications with Simpson? How is it that you ended up coming to Garland, Texas? Why are you even there?
So there you go. That's very interesting. The FBI agent actually photographed the scene of the attack. FBI provided video footage even of the tail, the FBI agent following Simpson and Sufi. Unbelievable. The undercover agent taking pictures of the attack site seconds before the guys jump out of their car and start shooting. 60 Minutes was provided the video and the photograph, a photograph taken by the undercover FBI agent seconds before the attack. Is this a coincidence? I mean, if people understand what I would call COINTELPRO reinvented as Operation Gladio or Gladio B in this case, then this should make perfect sense. Again, Trevor Aronson's video is obviously something that everyone should be acquainted with. Speaking of the truth, I mean, I said this last week, but if Trevor Aronson is right, if there's one organization, I mean, you ask people, are we concerned about terrorism in this country? Well, we've been conditioned to care about it, to believe. If there was one organization that was responsible for more terror attacks than any other organization, more than for instance, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, and ISIS combined, there was an organization that was responsible for more terrorism plots in the United States than Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, and ISIS combined. Wouldn't we be interested in thwarting that organization? I think we would. But here's where the cognitive dissonance comes in. The normalcy bias. We wouldn't investigate the FBI, would we? I mean, here is a 60 Minutes news piece. This is not a conspiracy blog. This is 60 Minutes talking about the fact that the FBI provided video and photographs that prove, the FBI proved itself that it had an undercover agent. Was this agent a handler of Simpson and Sufi? We know that informants are involved. This wasn't an informant. This was a handler. This was an undercover agent. And the FBI provided 60 Minutes a photo of the attack scene seconds before Simpson and Sufi jumped out and started shooting. Coincidence? Well, I'm reminded of Mike Rogers' words when he was the House Intel Committee chair, I believe, and in the wake of the Benghazi incident, Susan Rice saying it was this ridiculous video that was seen halfway around the world by some people in an outpost 500 or 600 miles from the U.S. Embassy in Libya. They just happened to be along the rat line, if you believe the reporting of folks like Cy Hirsch. And this video was responsible for a well-coordinated military-style attack on this outpost in a remote area. And so Mike Rogers was asked, what do you think? And he said, you know, they're are a lot of coincidences. One of the first things you learn as a young FBI agent is that there are coincidences, but they're not likely. And there are a lot of coincidences about this event. So, you know, this is one of those kinds of moments. And Trevor Aronson's TED Talk comes to mind. He's written a number of pieces since then about it. But just to kind of weave this narrative together a little bit more, you have the 60 Minutes clip that we just played. Here's Trevor Aronson from his TED Talk titled How This FBI Strategy is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists. Go ahead, please.
The FBI is responsible for more terrorism plots in the United States than any other organization. More than Al-Qaeda, more than Al-Shabaab, more than the Islamic State, more than all of them combined. This isn't likely how you think about the FBI. You probably think of FBI agents gunning down bad guys like John Dillinger or arresting corrupt politicians. After the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the FBI became less concerned with gangsters and crooked elected officials. The new target became terrorists, and the pursuit of terrorists has consumed the FBI. Every year, the Bureau spends $3.3 billion on domestic counterterrorism activities. Compare that to just $2.6 billion combined for organized crime, financial fraud, public corruption, and all other types of traditional criminal activity. I've spent years poring through the case files of terrorism prosecutions in the United States, and I've come to the conclusion that the FBI is much better at creating terrorists than it is at catching terrorists. In the 14 years since 9/11, you can count about six real terrorist attacks in the United States. These include the Boston Marathon bombings in 2013, as well as failed attacks, such as the time a man named Faisal Shahzad tried to deliver a car bomb to Times Square. In those same 14 years, the Bureau, however, has bragged about how it's foiled dozens of terrorism plots. In all, the FBI has arrested more than 175 people in aggressive undercover counterterrorism stings. These operations, which are usually led by an informant, provide the means and opportunity, and sometimes even the idea, for mentally ill and economically desperate people to become what we now term terrorists. After 9/11, the FBI was given an edict. Never again. Never another attack on American soil. FBI agents were told to find terrorists before they strike. To do this, agents recruited a network of more than 15,000 informants nationwide, all looking for anyone who might be dangerous. An informant can earn $100,000 or more for every terrorism case they bring to the FBI. That's right, the FBI is paying mostly criminals and con men six figures to spy on communities in the United States, but mostly Muslim American communities. These informants nab people like Abu Khalid Abdul Latif and Wali Mujahid. Both are mentally ill. Abdul Latif had a history of huffing gasoline and attempting suicide. Mujahid had schizoaffective disorder. He had trouble distinguishing between reality and fantasy. In 2012, the FBI arrested these two men for conspiring to attack a military recruiting station outside Seattle with weapons provided, of course, by the FBI. The FBI's informant was Robert Childs, a convicted rapist and child molester who was paid $90,000 for his work on the case. This isn't an outlier. In 2009, an FBI informant who had fled Pakistan on murder charges led four men in a plot to bomb synagogues in the Bronx. The lead defendant was James Cromedy, a broke Walmart employee with a history of mental problems. And the informant had offered him $250,000 if he participated in that plot. There are many more examples. Today, The Intercept published my new story about a counterterrorism sting in Tampa involving Sammy Osmakosh, a young man who was living near Tampa, Florida. Osmakosh also had schizoaffective disorder. He too was broke, and he had no connections to international terrorist groups. Nonetheless, an FBI informant gave him a job, handed him money, introduced him to an undercover agent posing as a terrorist, and lured him in a plot to bomb an Irish bar. But here's what's interesting. The lead undercover agent, you can see him in this picture with his face blurred, would go back to the Tampa field office with his recording equipment on. Behind closed doors, FBI agents admitted that what they were doing was farcical. A federal judge doesn't want you to hear about these conversations. He sealed the transcripts and placed them under a protective order in an attempt to prevent someone like me from doing something like this. Behind closed doors, the lead agent, the squad supervisor, described their would-be terrorist as a retarded fool who didn't have a pot to piss in. They described his terrorist ambitions as wishy-washy and a pipe dream scenario. But that didn't stop the FBI. They provided Sammy Osmakosh everything he needed. They gave him a car bomb. They gave him an AK-47. They helped him make a so-called martyrdom video. And they even gave him money for a taxi cab so he could get to where they wanted him to go. As they were working the sting, the squad supervisor tells his agents he wanted a Hollywood ending. And he got a Hollywood ending. When Sammy Osmakosh attempted to deliver what he thought was a car bomb, he was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 40 years in prison. Sammy Osmakosh isn't alone. He's one of more than 175 so-called terrorists for whom the FBI has created Hollywood endings. U.S. government officials call this the war on terror. It's really just theater, a national security theater, with mentally ill men like Sami Osmakosh, unwitting actors in a carefully choreographed production brought to you by the FBI. Thank you.
So there you go. Trevor Aronson's TED Talk. Now I want to give you more on that, a little more detailed insight, but Trevor Aronson, certainly the subject matter expert. I want to refer you to, next we'll go to the podcast over at libertarianism.org. 2015 podcast, episode 112, What Are the Risks of Terrorism? Special guests John Mueller and Mark Stewart talking about their book, Chasing Ghosts, the Policing of Terrorism. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 122436, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 122436, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of five Levels of Power novels and the Sled Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 122436. Get your copy today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Matt, welcome back.
So, crazy, crazy stuff. You know, in a post-truth society, are we really concerned with the facts? You know, you heard Trevor Aronson open his talk with these words. These were his opening words. The FBI is responsible for more terrorism plots in the United States than any other organization. More than Al-Qaeda, more than Al-Shabaab, more than the Islamic State, more than all of them combined. This isn't likely how you think of about the FBI. But I would add, maybe it is. If these things aren't accidental or coincidental, and there are a number of examples, not the least of which, I would say, the Garland, Texas incident. Once again, here's that clip from 60 Minutes this weekend.
Past November, Maynard was given another batch of documents by the government, revealing the biggest surprise of all. The undercover agent was in a car directly behind Elton Simpson and Nader Soufi when they started shooting. This cell phone photo of school security guard Bruce Joyner and police officer Greg Stevens was taken by the undercover agent seconds before the attack.
The idea that he's taken photograph of the two people who happen to be attacked moments before they're attacked
is stunning.
I mean, talk about being in the right or the wrong place at the right or the wrong time.
The idea that he's right there 30 seconds before the attack happens is just incredible to me.
What would you want to ask the undercover agent?
I would love to ask the undercover agent, are these the only communications that you had with Simpson? Did you have more communications with Simpson? How is it that you ended up coming to Garland, Texas? Why are you even there?
Exactly. Why indeed? You know, and then you go back. I mean, you couple this with, for example, the NBC News piece back in May of 2015, May 8th. FBI alerted Garland police about Elton Simpson hours before shooting. FBI says it sent a warning to Garland, sent warning in Garland shooting attack. We should play that clip too. 3 hours before gunman attacked the anti-Prophet Muhammad, you know, cartoon contest in Garland, Texas, the FBI sent a bulletin to local police with a photo of one of the shooters, Elton Simpson, noting that he was interested in the event, FBI Director Comey said. But guess what? He was being tailed by an undercover FBI agent. He's a person of interest. Why wasn't he stopped? Interesting, eh? I mean, the agent even took pictures. 60 Minutes aired those pictures.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all-natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high-quality, all-natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined, natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.